This is the Green Zone. Jamie Locker. Jamie's back next week. Good tunes today, by the way. All request Friday. What do you want to hear? Former Rough Rider Matt Dominguez is the reason why we're having this conversation today. Have you ever stopped cheering for a team and why? Matt will be joining us just after 4 o'clock to explain his connection to that conversation. But now, let's drop the gloves.
Now, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Thanks for doing this, Drew. They stopped introducing me.
They did, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. Well, it's good. More time. I've only been there a year.
Finally arrived. let's jump into the smelling salts thing.
My God, I'm telling you. There was a time in my life where I'd be listening to you and Daryl Davis and who was it yesterday? Dave Naylor and the guy from Dallas?
RJ yeah. Choppy, yeah.
Right, where I would have phoned in and let you guys up pretty good. But I thought I would just relax for a minute and talk to you about just how silly you guys are being about the smelling salts thing. When was it RJ yesterday?
Yeah.
Brought up the banned, like the black market PED smelling salts. I was like, are you kidding me? Here's what the guys do. It does. It happens in the NFL, and George Kittle being a prime example, but the NHL smelling salts are everywhere. Hell, I do smelling salts before the game, and I'll tell you how that happens. Barkley Goodrow, I'm on the bench at home. Barkley Goodrow will crack the ammonia tablets if he's sitting beside me. He cracks the ammonia tablets, takes a couple of deep whiffs, and then turns, gives it to me, and he goes, hit it. And I'll take a couple of deep whiffs, and then he goes, let's go. And that's it. I mean, it does give you a little bit of alertness. It does give you that jolt. It can improve your focus for a second. Weightlifters use it when they're going to, like in the Olympics, when they're going to be, power lifters, guys like that. But the big key is on this, the whole thing the NFL said about masking the concussion protocols. It can, for a second, elevate your levels of alertness. But there's a five-step process when it comes to evaluating whether the player has a concussion or not. Nobody's taken a hit of smelling salts. It's not 1970s. When a guy is laying on the turf and the guy runs out there, the trainer runs out there, gives him a smelling salt, and boom, all of a sudden he's awake. That doesn't happen. It's more for guys before a series of plays or before the NHL or before it starts in the NHL, a game starts. Guys will come over and take the smelling salts. Usually it's the ammonia caps, which you talked about. Sometimes it's these new ones, which are in these bottles, which are horrendous. Like, oh my God, they smell so bad. But yeah, nobody's coming over the black market with PED smelling salts.
Well, I think his point was that if you're going to leave this in the hands of the players, do you trust them not to find something that might be included in it, right?
Do you really believe?
No, I don't think I do. I don't.
Leaving it in the hands of the players. The players are not going to be walking in with their. The team is still going to have it. The team is still going to get them. That's just the way it's going to be. And I don't think the NFL, I'm so surprised that this rule, first of all, came in, but then it's a rule, but then it's not really a rule. You guys can't supply them, but they can have them.
I think it's a liability thing.
Exactly.
Dave said that he thinks that it might have something to do with, like, if there is, in 20 years, it pops up that there's long-term, potential damage to lungs or whatever. The NFL doesn't want to be sued for that from a former player. So it's a protection measure at best.
It's a lawyer rule.
Yeah,
it is a lawyer rule.
But then again, we're even speculating on that. We're not sure exactly what the reasoning behind the ban, so-called not a really a ban from the NFL was. My guess is they couldn't just say, and again, I think other leagues would have a similar issue with this. They can't just, a legal product, they can't just say, oh, by the way, you guys can't use that anymore.
No. They can't. They can. They would have to collectively bargain, I think, that on the NHLPA as far as can they use it or not. NFL, I'm not sure what their bargaining process is, but it's, to me, it is another silly rule.
Yeah.
Like puck over the glass or the rouge.
Okay. Okay. So I've done it, and I gotta be honest with you. I did it one time because there was a guy on our men's league team, beer league team, that was doing it, and I was like, oh, I'll give that a try. And I was a one and done guy, and I was very surprised at I almost fell off the bench, and I can't believe guys do it multiple times during a game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will hit it twice a game if Barkley's beside me. I love the smell of the ammonia caps. Absolutely love them. And it does, for a second, it does elevate your central nervous system. It does give you that little jolt. But the guys in the NFL, in the NHL, it happens all the time. Every game, guys are hitting the caps.
What league do you think uses them the most?
I don't know. Well, I've only been to about three NFL games, and I'm not watching the sidelines. I would say that the NHL would probably
be up there. Well, yeah, and I was talking with Jennifer Lee Chan, who set us up with and she was saying she sees the empty capsules all over the place, and I see it in the NFL. I don't see it, and I don't know if I'm just not paying attention. I don't see the CFL using them much, but I did tell her that the hockey, like the NHL side of things, I think it's probably more prevalent. That was my opinion on that anyway, or speculation.
Yeah. Jennifer Lee Chan. One of the former ladies of wrestling.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. We talked about that briefly, she was Jade.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. 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 So I saw that on her Twitter bio, and I kind of recognize. I mean, I don't follow wrestling, but when I saw a picture of it, I was like, I know her. She's tiny. You see her when she's interviewing football players. It's hilarious.
Yeah. She's a really nice lady. She covers the Niners, as everybody knows, from NBC Sports California. She's great.
Earlier in the week, I want to jump into something else here. Earlier in the week, Elliot Friedman posted a Matthew Tkachuk injury update. So he's got a torn abductor. I think we kind of knew this because he's sort
and
of...
And sports hernia as well.
Sports hernia. So he got that during the Four Nations, managed to make it through the playoffs. Everyone knows the rest of the story. I'm scarred from it. His last game was June 17th. Now, I'm curious, I'm throwing it out there because they're dealing with the LTIR sort of speculation now. They're going to abuse that or, it's being tossed around, especially after the post from Elliot Friedman. And Elliot Friedman didn't say that that's what Florida was doing. He just said, this is the situation. This is what happens. Would you not, if I'm the Florida Panthers, would you not want him to get whatever procedures he needs to get done as soon as possible so that we can get him back as soon as possible? Take the whole cap thing out of the conversation. Like, he's a valuable player to your team. It's bizarre to me that we're in August and he still hasn't dealt with it.
There's one big thing that happened.
Okay.
He got married.
So you think that it was 100% with the wedding? Yes. Okay. We'll give him a pass then.
July 19th, he got married, and then he's going to get the surgery done. The LTIR thing, again, my thoughts on that. I think it's a crybaby from everybody who's not using the system to the best of their advantage. That's just the way it is. That's been changed this year, that you have to be cap compliant going into the playoffs with your team on the ice. That's going to be in the new collective bargaining agreement. The situation for Matthew is, and that's one of the reasons that Bill Zito was able to assign everybody like he did, is that he knew he was going to need those supports. So Marchand comes back and they get Bennett and they make sure that they keep everybody in place. There are times, and it's happened with the San Jose Sharks during my time there, is that you try to rehab it best you can for about a little while. First of all, there's a recovery process where it's just nothing but rest. After the playoffs, it's nothing but rest. And then you just try to get back into rehab and you start trying to get your muscles and everything working. And then they finally come out to the conclusion of, and I'm guessing this is what happened, this isn't working. The marriage was the big thing, making sure he wasn't in a wheelchair, because that surgery is significant. And then he'll get it done. The thing it does for him, though, like if everybody's thinking they're trying to do this from an LTIR point of view, is the fact that he very possibly, very, very possible that he will miss the Olympics.
Hmm. So are there any rules tied to the Olympics and making the team? Does he have to play a certain number of games in the NHL? No, nothing. Okay.
Not that I know of.
So he could get the procedure done here in the next week or so, rehab it, and then get on the ice in January and not play a single game for the Florida Panthers and still make the squad. I mean, obviously, he still has to make selection camp, but and it looks like they'd be crazy not to take him, the U.S. team.
Yeah, absolutely. It could. It would not be very well received by Bill Z, though. Like, the general managers don't like this because now you're sending your guys. You look at the formations. That's where he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yet he was able to overcome, and the trainers and the doctors did a fantastic job with him. But that's what he'd have to overcome to play in the Olympics, and he just might not be able to play in the Olympics.
Let's segue to the Canadian team, and Macklin Celebrini has been invited to the Olympic National Team Orientation Camp. So that's happening, Drew, in Calgary at the end of the month. This is a stupid question, but I'm going to do it anyway. Does he have a better shot at making the team than Connor Bedard?
Well, I'll say right now he's a better player than Connor Bedard.
I agree with you.
His 200-foot game is way better than Connor Bedard's. Now, to be fair to Connor Bedard, Connor was never a great skater, but he seems to be around the puck all the time. Connor's got a fantastic shot, and the supporting cast, I will say, for even though the Blackhawks had a better record, the supporting cast that Macklin had with him versus what Connor has with him is different. I would say in this instance the Sharks are better in that regard in supporting Macklin Celebrini. But I look at this roster, I think both Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini are going to have a tough time making that club. There's 42 guys that they invited, and there's some great players. But I will look at Macklin Celebrini, and I'm obviously very biased being around the kid all season and what an unreal person he is. But he is so mature for his game. His competitive drive
I wanted to say that because I haven't watched them a lot. I mean, I haven't spent, 200 hours watching film O'Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini, but it is noticeable. And because they're so, uniquely tied to each other, right? The conversation, you pay attention and you're thinking of the other player when you're watching the other one, right? And for me, when I was watching Macklin Celebrini, there's a give a, in his game that Connor doesn't have, that I'm not seeing when I'm watching the Blackhawks, right? Macklin is in there getting dirty, getting into the dirty spots in the ice.
And somebody, who was it? It was a Paul Pissonnette that criticized Connor Bedard in that regard. Although I will say that there are guys who have just different personalities, different games. Now, Connor Bedard is a kid that is one of those low-fire kids. He reminds me of Patty Marleau. He reminds me of John Tavares. He reminds me of those guys that have a fire, but it's kept in control.
Yeah.
Macklin Celebrini, it's very visible. It's very noticeable, the drive he's got. Now, Macklin, they grew up a little bit together, Connor and Macklin. They play hockey in the summers against each other in North Vancouver. They know each other well. They're both incredible hockey players. But I look at right now where Connor Bedard is in his development, and I look at Macklin Celebrini, and Macklin Celebrini's game away from the puck is better than Connor Bedard's. But they play a different style. They really do. Like, Macklin Celebrini's more of a nose over the puck, play inside, play off a guy's hip pocket. Connor Bedard is a guy who all of a sudden he's there with the puck on a stick and he releases that awesome shot and it goes in the net. Both incredible players, but I still think both of them are going to have a tough time making that squad.
Drew Remanda, dropping the gloves here on the Green Zone. Always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Good talking to you.
And we're dealing with this conversation. Have you ever stopped cheering for a team, and why? Matt Dominguez He's the reason why we're having this conversation. It's on the Green Zone just after 4 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation. But if you want to weigh in on it early, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone, Jamie Locker. Jamie's back next week. My final solo show. He takes the bye weeks off when the Riders have a bye week. He's very busy during the week with the Riders, right? So he deserves the break. We got an interesting conversation coming up with the host of Sport Market, Tom Anik. Now, it does apply to Canada, even though it is an ESPN-based decision. We are going to see the ramifications of it, and I'm hoping we'll be able to negotiate how it's going to impact Canada when we get Tom on. So keep in mind, this is an American thing, and it's a bigger deal down in the States, but it involves cable and streaming and sports, and yeah, so I'm looking forward to the conversation. That's coming up in just a bit. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. Jamie's back next week. Dave wanted to hear that. It is an all-request Friday, and he is a big Riders fan. And he did switch from the Cowboys to the Ravens. I didn't get a reason why. I don't think we need to dig too far into that one. He is actually taking part in our conversation today about have you ever stopped cheering for a team and why? And we'll get to the bottom as to why we're talking about that with former Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Grey Cup champ back in 2007, Matt Dominguez. We've got him on the horn just after 4 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. And I want you to weigh in on that. Have you ever stopped cheering for a team and why? The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255.
Breaking down the business of sports with Tom Mayenek.
How you doing, Tom?
I am doing well.
Fantastic. So I saw the news earlier in the week. I did a little bit of research on it to sort of get a sense of what it's about. We're going to dig a little deeper with you, Tom. And I'm guessing that when you're on the Sport Market this weekend on CJME and CKOM, 6 p.m. on Saturday night and 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, you will probably be talking about this. They're launching a standalone streaming service that'll cost $30 a month. That is in the States. We'll get into the implications in Canada as well during our conversation. But this is interesting from the perspective of it could make a big impact on the number of people that watch sports on cable versus streaming. So let's do this streaming ESPN deal for dummies. I'm the dummy. Explain it to us.
You can never be a dummy, Locke. You can never be a dummy. But I will respond to what you're saying and just first of all agree, it is a really big sport business story that ESPN is pegging things in terms of its own streaming because, of course, they want to be on both sides of the equation. They certainly will want to build out their cable audiences as much as possible. But given where the next generation of consumers are going with streaming, mobile devices and more, if they stand still on the streaming front and on the app front and on the direct ESPN content front, they'll fall behind and fall behind in a big way. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing here. It's just a reflection of the changing environment. ESPN wants to net positive out of this. It's going to be something that will, you know, obviously impact other telecoms and other content providers and cable juggernauts, so to speak. But it is at the level of the consumer, one of the biggest things that's happening. Just a few years ago, you know, just a couple of years ago, on this show, on the Green Zone, we would have been talking about streaming representing 2 or 3 percentage points of the audience. Some special events, i.e. Super Bowl, took that, you know, sort of 10%. But now you're getting, in some cases, streaming audiences that are bigger than the actual cable television audiences. And that's what's at stake here.
So hold on. Let's just clarify one thing. Are you just talking specifically streaming and sports?
Yes.
Okay.
Streaming and sports, of course.
So a couple of years ago, 2% of the audience would have been watching sports streaming.
Less than 5. Single digits would have been watching streaming. Of course, you know, you've got all kinds of other streaming services now providing other entertainment content. But, you know, people have wanted to be live and in person as much as possible, you know, taking on the master feed, so to speak.
Well, I'm that guy, Tom. I hate to interrupt, but I'm that guy. I still have cable. I'm still paying a ridiculous amount of money for cable because I'm not gonna meet Barry at the, you know, at the farmer's market to have my box updated or give me a new flash drive or something so that I can watch it streaming every 3 months, right? So I've maintained the cable in my house because I watch sports. My wife and I mean, 85% of the time there's something on the TV in our house. It's sports related, and I don't trust streaming services regarding sports, if we're being brutally honest.
Well, and there we go. And you and I are baby boomers, you know, that kind of demographic, at least plus or minus.
Gen X, Tom.
There we go.
My mom was a boomer.
Well, there you go. You know, whether it's Generation X or whatever, the reality is we're still more comfortable with the old school. But every new customer that's, you know, hitting the age of 14, 15, 16, and ultimately the age of 18 is completely indoctrinated by streaming. That's what they're used to. And if the sports content was available on one network to them on a direct basis, the way it's going to increasingly become, they'll tend to stay with that for a long time. You don't want that 17, 18-year-old to signing on to another network's direct content feed. Mm-hmm. You want them to stick with you. Now, here's the other thing. This is all happening in the context of another related big sport business story, which is ESPN acquiring the rights to NFL TV, NFL Network, and Red Zone TV. Mm-hmm. And that is among the most popular of broadcast and streaming properties out there, especially Red Zone TV.
Yeah.
And you look at all the young kids who want to come along for that ride. ESPN basically has given up about $2.5 billion to $3 billion in valuation. That's how big this
ownership
is.
10%, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 10% of ESPN will now be held by the NFL. And so everything else that we're talking about, NFL has an inside seat at ESPN, and ESPN has an inside seat at the NFL because they both got skin in the game. And that's why it's going to be so interesting to watch what the NFL and ESPN, the Disney-owned network, do going forward. I really believe the two stories together are a complete game changer going forward.
Well, and it's having a massive impact on programming too and content, right? And the interesting thing about it for me was it is American, but it is going to have an impact on how we consume sports entertainment in Canada as well. Like you said, ESPN is owned by Disney. This $30 all-you-can-eat standalone streaming service is going to be available, and it's going to go up quickly. It's going to be $30 a month. I believe the date is August 20th or 26th or something like that, the launch date for this. And again, we're focusing here on the NFL, but it's wrestling. It is a bunch of other sports as well that ESPN has their, you know, their fingers in the pies of. So they're going to have a ton of content out there for that $30 streaming, that, you know, that package.
And that's also going to have an impact on the continued elevation of broadcast and media rights. We've always been seeing, just like athlete salaries, okay, there's got to be a ceiling here somewhere. It can't keep on going up.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what's happened with both salaries and with media rights. And when you look at the media rights, to the point you just made, yes, the NFL will be front and center on the ESPN $30 a month subscribed direct content platform,
mm-hmm.
but also will be WWE Wrestling. They just did a $1.5 billion rights deal, ESPN did. And so everything, as you said, from wrestling to the juggernaut that is the NFL, is going to be affected by this app. But I also, you know, can't overestimate how important it is that this is happening in a week in which there's even more privileged content going to the ESPN family through the NFL Network and through Red Zone TV, which I see spinning off into Red Zone for college football and Red Zone for other sports as well. And ESPN will aggressively pursue all of them.
Yeah, so they now own the, or they have controlling interest of the Red Zone brand franchise. So they could do whatever they want with that.
Absolutely. They operate it. They own it. They'll brand it however they want. They'll spin it off however they want. Even Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, said this week that all those things are on the table for ESPN/Disney to pursue.
Mm-hmm. So now the interesting conversation here is, Tom, how does this impact how we consume sports entertainment in Canada? Because this is an American thing. I don't know if you can buy this $30. You might be able to. I don't know. But and there's a relationship between TSN and ESPN in Canada. So is this going to directly impact how we get the NFL and other sports in Canada?
It'll definitely impact. The question is at what pace compared to the change up in, you know, in the United States south of the border, and how broad it is going forward. You're right. ESPN has a minority share in TSN. So there's a very strong relationship there that includes the branding of, you know, both the sports center south of the border and north of the border. But make no mistake, Rogers Sportsnet is being very, very aggressive in terms of its content plans, in terms of its position in sport ownership. We now know that they own, 75% of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. So again, if you don't act and take advantage of some of these things, you're going to fall behind. If you're standing still, you're going to fall behind. And neither Sportsnet nor Bell Media and TSN want to fall behind. I will say, Locker, though, in terms of, and listen, the sport market is part of the Sportsnet radio network. Want to, you know, make sure everybody understands that. But I really think that there's a difference between the priority that Rogers is putting on its sports content compared to what Bell Media is putting on its sports content. We'll see where that goes on this important crossroads. But you're going to see a lot more than just the Sportsnet app and you know what Bell Media has going in terms of its Go Direct apps as well. Watch for this to be something that happens here in Canada very, very soon.
Yeah, I don't think we're too far behind. And again, I will back you up on that statement. And anytime we have talked about Sportsnet and Rogers on this program, I appreciate the fact that you who are employed by them make that sort of that preamble statement. But you're not wrong. I'll say this. Sportsnet is, I'd say, they're quite further down the road as far as sports content and the digital side of things than Bell Media is right now. They seem to be prioritizing it. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised that TSN has given up its position in some of these areas to Rogers, right? Like even the ownership side of things out of Toronto with the Raptors and the Leafs and like that was surprising to me.
That's a major indicator in my view. You not only have a focus on your content, but you have a focus on the originator of the content, you own a franchise like the Toronto Blue Jays, you're going to get a lot of content over the course of a year.
100%. Tom, as always, I appreciate your time on the Green Zone, and we look forward to your programming on the weekend. Sport Market, listen for it, CJME and CKOM, Saturday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. Tom, have a great night.
Hey, all the best. Thanks a lot, Locker.
Always enjoy my conversations with Tom. Yeah, this streaming thing is very, very interesting. And I know that was specifically a American conversation, the ESPN deal, but it is going to have massive implications in Canada in the next coming years. I'm guessing that Rogers is probably going to do something very similar to what ESPN and Disney are doing with this live streaming for sports. And it'll probably go a long way to more cord cutters here in Canada. Up next on the Green Zone, what we're focusing on with our fan free-for-all. And I got a couple of texts I want to read before we chat with Matt Dominguez as well. Former Rough Rider. We have him on just after 4. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's back on Monday. My final solo show. The conversation we're having today. By the way, I'll request Friday as well if you want to hear something. 877-332-8255. That is the Green Zone fan line. Once again, 877-332-8255. Have you ever stopped cheering for a team and why? And Matt Dominguez, former Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Grey Cup winner, 2007. He's the reason we're having this conversation. We'll get into that coming up after 4 o'clock because we're going to get him on the phone. We're going to get him on the blower and have that conversation. I've had a couple of texts regarding this, and the first few that we got were based on the fact that I was taking a shot at Leaf fans. I was saying, how is this not more of a thing? The Leafs. Hear that, Leaf fans? It's okay to leave the team and not continue on with the torture. Come on over to Ottawa, welcoming you with open arms. That's from Jace. He's a big Sens fan. This is from Greg. And Greg, whenever we talk about the Leafs, we'll contact the Green Zone. He is from Lumsden. He's a big Leafs fan. Locker, you totally disappointed me with your Leafs comment. Why cheer for the Leafs? First off, they are the greatest team in NHL history. They're always at or near the top of their division and overall NHL standings. So they don't win the cup. Only one team wins it a year. I'd be way more disappointed to be an Oilers fan. You play in the weaker West. Weaker, Greg. I'm calling you out on that one. You make it to the finals and everyone expects you to win, only to keep being a very overrated and disappointing team. Coming in second only means you are the best loser. If your team isn't on the cup, your team is still a loser. I think I'm getting the point here, Greg. Sorry, no participation trophies in pro sports. Greg and I have been going back and forth on the text line. Very, very entertaining. Anyway, we want your thoughts on this. And again, the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. But our conversation next with Matt Dominguez. Looking forward to that. 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.